Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Thursday, the 27th of June. Quoting Franklin Roosevelt, a day that will live in infamy, or something like that. Anyway, it's a big day, and it just goes to show you how time flies. Because I remember so well, it seemed like just a moment ago when I said 10 days to go. Boy, has that 10 days flown by. And here we are, ready to go tonight to listen to the debate. I have to say that if I were Joe Biden, whatever they ask him tonight, whatever the first question is, I would say, I'll answer that in one moment, but I do have a question for Donald. And I would turn to Donald and I would say, Donald, I'm just wondering who won the 2020 election. I'm just sort of interested in knowing the answer to that. And then I'd let Donald go and deal with it and then move on. I think you could make Donald insane. I think he would turn absolutely crazy instantly. And I think that would be interesting to see. He certainly wouldn't say, Joe, you won. He wouldn't say that. So we know that. Whatever he said, it would be a lie. So I would love to see that. I suppose that the CNN moderators will not ask that question first, although they really should. I mean, I think that's just the best question you could ask. And anybody that would say that's unfair, I mean, how could that be unfair? Who won? I don't know. Anybody know who won? It'd be interesting to know. I suspect that Joe Biden could tell you who won, since he served 3 years as president of the United States. I don't think Donald could tell you. I don't think he would tell you. I think he would say what you know he wants to say. Sort of like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. Oh, you could make him break. You could do it. Just ask him. You don't have to accuse him of anything. I suggested to a friend of mine that after he denies it, that is, denies Biden winning, if I were Joe, I would love to say, sir, laughing, you're deranged, and then move on. But everybody sort of disagrees with that one. I can understand why you might not want to say that. But it doesn't matter. You wouldn't have to. It would be so apparent. And so we'll watch tonight and see if anybody does ask that question. Because if there's anything that will drive Trump crazy, that's got to be it. Now, I agree if you say that we should have a more substantive and sensible conversation tonight. I think that would be good. I'd be very fearful if Donald could do that, because if he could do it, I think it would really encourage voters to go in his direction. But I don't think he can do it. And I certainly think that one simple question would end it right there. He can't go any further than that. That's all he can. Yeah, it's the end. Just say, Donald, who won in 2020? I'm just wondering. That's all. Okay. I got a number of things I want to talk about here, of course. You know, I had some things earlier today. But let me go with the most recent news of the day. This is all so ridiculous. The superintendent of schools in Oklahoma just this afternoon announced that in Oklahoma public schools, all teachers are going to be required to teach the Bible. I guess you heard that, right? To teach the Bible. They started just a few days ago with Louisiana wanting to just post the Ten Commandments. Now, in less than a week, in public schools, they want to teach the Bible. I wonder which constitutional law class these people took. Either in political science, which is where I took it, or in law school, which is certainly a good place to learn about the Constitution and constitutional law. But, you know, I've talked about before the Supreme Court case, Engel versus Vitale, which is the case that has ruled since 1961. That's over 60 years. I understand this is the new thing on the court, to take everything that the old courts did and blow it up. And I want to know how long you think it would be before we get to Brown versus Board of Education, because that would be a bit of a problem, trying to get black people to stop going to public schools and to no longer go to restaurants, maybe keep them out of swimming pools. I mean, yeah, let's just go all the way back on all of this. That's the one where they'd really have a problem. Now, you could look and say, well, they're not going to do that. Don't say that. Don't say we're not going to do that. Look what we're already doing. And you know, you could say, well, what's that? We've just stopped abortion. No, that's not what we've done. That is not what we've done. In fact, sadly, something different has happened in the United States in the last 2 years. You know, when Roe v. Wade became law way back 50 years ago, abortions were running about 1 million per year. After legalizing abortions over 50 years, that number dropped somewhere in the vicinity of 500,000. Consistently went down during the entire time. So, you know, you could say anything, but whatever you say, if you wanted to stop abortions, well, from the 70s to now, up until 2 years ago, we reduced abortions by about half in the United States. In the last 2 years, abortions have risen. I don't even pretend to be able to tell you the reason. I can't tell you the answer. But I can tell you this. Since abortion was banned, abortions have increased. So I don't know what you want to do about it. I don't know what you think about it. But the bottom line is, that's the direction this is going. Abortions are on the rise. So figure out a way to bring them back down. That's number one. The second thing, and I talked about this yesterday, and I have talked to people about this today, and everybody except for one had the answer that you would expect. I talked about the fact that, which again, I didn't know this until a couple of days ago myself. I guess I would have if you'd asked me and I thought about it enough, I'd have realized it makes sense. But thousands of women every year have their water break before they're ready to deliver their child. Thousands. This is not one or two in the state of Texas who had to run somewhere and get away and they bled out or something like that. No, it's not that story. I've told that story, and actually I was in the wrong direction, to tell you the truth. I mean, I assume that there were more people than that, but I didn't have any good statistics on it. But on this water breaking thing, this is common. It happens. Women get pregnant. They are carrying a child. And sometimes the water breaks. Now, you understand, or you probably should, or maybe I'll tell you and you'll realize it, but when the water breaks, there is a sterile environment that is violated. That's serious, serious business. Once that sterile environment is gone, the potential for infection immediately rises, and dramatically. I mean, this is just medical information that, again, I wouldn't have known personally because I, first, did not go to medical school. And secondly, even though I've got six kids that have shown up as a result of some involvement of mine, my kids, my wife, so forth. Okay. I'm the man, though. Okay. So I'm not really maybe as tuned in as I should be, as many of us should be. But here's the thing. If I didn't know that this was a possibility, I guess I should have known. And now I know for sure. And having become as aware as I am, I have to tell you, there's a case that was finally presented to the country today. It was shown to us yesterday inadvertently. They said it was an error, but today they actually delivered the case, and it turned out everything they printed yesterday was exactly what came in the case. So there was nothing new. It was just an accident yesterday. Whatever caused it, I don't know. It's not the issue. The issue is this. In Idaho, if your water breaks and you need emergency medical care, you're in trouble. Or you were until today. As of today, you're okay. Sort of. Listen to this. This is very important. They didn't say that the federal law applies and that women must receive medical care, that is the law of the land, and that's what we should do from here on forever. That isn't what they said. What they did is sent all of this back to the lower courts to be reevaluated, to be reconsidered, to be reexamined, to be discussed at length, and then to possibly bring it back to the court later. Well, one thing about that is that if it comes back later, and I know this has got to be on the minds of these people, they're not stupid. They're hoping, some of these people on the right, that 1 year from now, well, it wouldn't come back at all because a new administration, they hope, would just walk away and say, forget it. Forget federal law. The law would then be whatever the states say it is. And if Idaho says that your water breaks and you go in for medical care, you're out of luck. And here's the worst part of this. Even if they didn't say you're out of luck, It's like this. You're a doctor and you're in Idaho. And a woman comes in with water having broken. Now you've got an exposed child and the woman's exposed to potential infection. And what are you going to do about it? Well, here's the answer. You better be very careful about what you do, because if you do something that the authorities don't like, whatever it is, 5 years in jail for the doctor. 5 years. So now you tell me, if you're a doctor in Idaho and these women start showing up, which they will, I mean, this is not an accident. This is life. This is the way it works. This is not somebody creating this problem. This is, you know, not women falling downstairs. This is something that happens in pregnancies, unfortunately. And it has to be dealt with by credible experts, doctors. And so what happens is these women come in and they look at the doctor and the doctor says, "Lady, I can't do anything, because if I do, there's a very good chance that I'll spend 5 years in prison. See you later." Now, you're opening all these women up to dangerous infections. Dangerous. Now, that's about all the medical knowledge I have on this, but I think it sounds pretty credible. It's come from top doctors. I've watched these doctors. They've explained it. This is the situation. If the water breaks and you've got a sterile environment that's been interrupted, you got trouble. And so you need a doctor to intervene. And in Idaho, if not for the Supreme Court today, it would be a problem. But it's still a problem, because you don't know if you're a doctor, even though the Supreme Court has said, yes, you can save this mother, the baby. You can do whatever you're capable. Whatever the doctor is supposed to, just do it. You're the doctor, do it. But what you have to read, and I'm not going to read it here. I'm just going to ask you to go and read it. And that is the dissent from Ketanji Brown Jackson, because it was brilliant. And she made this very clear, every bit of it. And she talked about this in a way that is so brilliant that it's hard to believe that any of the other justices would not be saying the same thing. Now, don't misunderstand, she is agreeing that all of this should be backed away. In other words, don't put the Idaho law into effect over federal law, because that's what would really be killing women. But the other justices have essentially, as they say, kicked the can down the road and said, let's look at this another day. And the Idaho law is not in effect. Federal law is. Take care of these women. That's what federal law says. If a woman comes into the emergency room in trouble, treat her. Well, that's what we do with everything else in America. If you go into an emergency room and you're in emergency trouble, your health is in serious danger, you're supposed to be treated. You're supposed to be brought to some level of stability that will allow everything to go on from there. But you cannot just have people walking into an emergency room in serious trouble and then just say, sorry, not our job. No, we don't do that. That's just not our law. Our law requires an emergency room to handle emergency problems, even if you don't have any money, doesn't matter. None of it matters. Nothing matters. If you've got an emergency problem and the doctor sees that, the doctor needs to handle it immediately and save your life. Period. And arguing over whether you're protecting a woman's health or saving her life is absolutely a recipe for killing women. And I said earlier that I only had one person with an answer that was different than what you would expect, which is what I'm telling you here. Ketanji Brown Jackson said in her case, her dissent, that this one person, a man, now I guess he thought he was being funny, and he said, well, what did we do in 1850? Which, of course, the answer is, in 1850, we let them die. That's true. This is not 1850, and really that answer speaks directly to the problem here, which is that we are supposed to have modern medicine operating in our hospitals. We are not supposed to put doctors in jeopardy of possibly going to jail for 5 years because some man, probably a white man, probably an old white man. Yeah, I'm an old white man. That's true. But I'm a smarter white man than these other old white men, because believe me, these hospitals need to treat the women. Now, we know that across the United States, black women are 3 times more likely to die in childbirth than white women. That's a fact. In addition to that, in Missouri, the number is more than 3. It's actually 4. 4 times. 4 times more likely to die. And what's interesting is I know I read earlier in the year that Missouri is asking for like $20,000. I mean, it's some idiotic low number to try to help reduce that number of women, black women dying in childbirth. I mean, it was a ridiculous number. It was like, you know, have you got $5 in your pocket? Yeah. I mean, it was something stupid. It was not enough. And it doesn't even begin to address the problem. And you know that Missouri is one of these states. There are 5 out here right now, in addition to Oklahoma and Kansas and Indiana, which have already gone, and Ohio, which have already gone through all this. But there are 5 more where they're conservative and they oppose abortion. But when the vote came in on the side of pro-choice. Because whatever you think, that's where the country is. Now, I've said this 100 times. I'll say it 1,000 times. I absolutely do not support abortion. I don't. But I want to make this clear, that anybody who wants to get in the way of a woman walking into an emergency room in a dangerous medical condition has got to be crazy. So this is not a question of abortion. This is a question of medical care for women. And I'll tell you this, every time I hear them on television talking about the need for abortions, I think to myself, stop it. Do not say that. That's not the argument here. We don't need to have this conversation. The conversation that we need is, do we need medical care for women? And the answer is clearly yes, 100%. You walk into that room, that emergency room, and your water has broken, you better get the best care that you can receive in the United States of America. And I don't care what anybody else doesn't like. You need to save that person. You need to, if possible, save the child. You need to save everybody you can save. But believe me, if you have these laws like Idaho that say you can't do anything and that the federal law doesn't apply, then you're going to have doctors who are fearful that they're going to go to jail for 5 years, which is the law in Idaho, go to jail for 5 years if you do the wrong thing. Well, I think there's not much more to say about that. And tonight, I hope that we're going to hear something about that in this debate. I suspect that we will. We're going to hear about the word. They're going to say abortion. And I really hope that Joe Biden has the sense to walk away from the word and say, I am only talking about medical care for women, because that'll stop everything. Believe me, right now the votes in these conservative states are running 60 to 65% against the right-wing position. You can get that up to 80% if you simply say 100% medical care for women under all circumstances. If they come in trouble, they must be cared for in the emergency room in all 50 states. End of story. Everybody will vote yes for that. It might be higher than 80. It might go to 90. I don't think there's anything more to say about that. I'll tell you what I do want to mention also. Different subject completely. Evan Gershkovich. I wonder if that's going to come up tonight, because there's been some conversation of this in the last couple of days where Donald has, in fact, said repeatedly, elect him because he'll get Evan back right away. He can do it. No one else can. He can. So my question is, how does he know this? And you know, I think he does know it. He won't tell you why, because he's a liar. But if he told you the truth, he would tell you that he has made deals, or he has been instructed by Vladimir Putin with regard to Evan Gershkovich. I do think he could get him back at a price for the United States that would be horrific. But on the other hand, this is more than about Evan Gershkovich. It's about a free press in America, something that Donald certainly would not support. Look, he has been talking against our free press since the day he started running in 2016. All of this enemy of the people business, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, all the major networks, they're all criminals, and they all have to be stopped. He has talked about stopping programs that include commentators who are against his policies. And you know the people that he works with. He works with major leaders around the world who are autocrats, all the way from Russia to North Korea, to China, everywhere, Hungary, everywhere. All these crazies, these are the people who he pronounces to be beautiful leaders. He loves them. He says they're powerful. He says they know how to get things done. And I can tell you right now that this couldn't be more dangerous. All of this anti-free press business, you can focus it all on Evan Gershkovich, and you need to come back to the United States and think about what it is that we believe when it comes to a free press. And I can tell you right now, you go to any journalism school in the United States, go to the top journalism school, which is purported to be in Mizzou, University of Missouri, Columbia, and, you know, they tell you there are standards And we adhere to these standards everywhere at the top newspapers in our country. Now, clearly, Donald showed us what he was doing with David Pecker. David Pecker, who was not a mainstream media paper in any way, the National Enquirer. I mean, you could go into a grocery store, and as you're walking out, you would read a headline that would say something like, Bill Clinton impregnated three Martians, and the children are being eaten by Hillary Clinton. You know, something like that. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that you could see almost any week walking through the counter at your grocery store. That's the National Enquirer. So David Pecker, coming from one of the worst newspapers in the world, really, he turns to Trump and makes deals to publish information that Trump wants in his paper and to buy stories that Trump does not want in other papers and then hide them from the American people. Well, guess what? Donald's already been convicted for this. It's over. I mean, forget whether you think I'm right or wrong. You can say, Kasin, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm going to say this to you. The man's convicted. He is a convicted felon, and this is what they convicted him on. This is what the jury found. This is what the jury believed. Michael Cohen told it. David Pecker told it. Hope Hicks told it. They all came in and told the story. There was some lawyer, Costello, who didn't want to go along with it, and the judge threw that guy off the stand anyway and told him if he said one more word, he'd be in contempt of court. So, you know, bottom line, Donald Trump is a convicted felon attempting to degrade the free press of the United States of America. He has no regard for Evan Gershkovich. He would use Gershkovich to try cynically, to attract voters to him. But it's not because he cares about a free press. He doesn't care about the Wall Street Journal. He doesn't care about the New York Times. Doesn't care about the Washington Post. Doesn't care about any of them. If you turn on Trump, you're in trouble, period. And he's already made it clear that those people who do under a Trump administration, which I promise you will not happen, but if it ever did, they would be put in jail, like is done in Russia. That's his boss. That's his puppeteer. That's the man who pulls the strings and tells him to declare that our free media, our free and fair media, that we have had such pride in since the beginning of our country, that it's really the enemy of the people. And look, this is not to say that the press has always been right, because we all know that in the early 1900s, there was something called yellow journalism that we teach our kids about, where newspapers lied about what was going on in Cuba relative to the Spanish-American War and other events as well. So all of this is part of American history and should be studied and understood. But at the same time, trying to say that the free and fair media that operates within the United States as the enemy of the people, well, the man who says that is, in fact, the enemy of the people. And beyond that, we know that that precise man, that person, Donald Trump, has already been convicted of what I'm telling you. He is a felon 34 times over, according to the jurors, because he was the fake news. Not our mainstream media. Donald Trump, it turns out, was the fake news. And that's why Donald Trump is going to be sentenced on July 11th. So, you know, keep all of this in mind. It's very important. What's important for me right now is to direct you to a great place to eat dinner. And that, of course, is Wendy's. And Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. I can tell you right now, they have the best wings that you will ever find. And as I always say, I'd say probably 99% of everybody loves wings. I can't tell you why I don't, but I don't. But everybody else does, so don't worry about it. Just be like everyone else. Love your wings and get them at Wendy's. They are great. Now, they also have smoked meat. They've got hamburgers, cheeseburgers, pizza, great pizza. They've got everything you can imagine to eat that you're going to love at Wendy's. You're going to love it. Great environment. You're going to just love eating there. It's just a fun place to be. It's a great place to eat. The food is perfect. And here's the thing. For me, because everybody's different, everybody has a different taste. For me, it's the baby back ribs and the onion rings. You can get that at Wendy's and love it if you're like me. If you're like everybody else, you'll eat everything. Well, that's good. Eat it all. Probably not in the same night. That wouldn't probably be very healthy. But the food at Wendy's is great. Do enjoy it. It's a great place to eat. And let me remind you that all you got to do is run over to Defiance, Missouri, and you can get the same great food at the Wendy's Roadhouse there. It's brand new. The food is great. Same great food that you would get at Wendy's here in the Valley, 2999 South Highway 94. That's in Defiance. Okay. Jewelry. Oh, you can get great jewelry at 4506 Hampton at Jewels on Hampton. You really can. First of all, those cases are filled with jewelry. You walk into the store. This is not just like, you know, one case at the front and then they give you an example of what they've got. No, they've got everything. This place is filled with it, with jewelry everywhere. And it's really good, just good jewelry. It's excellent. And you know, I can promise you that whether it's Al or AJ, doesn't matter. Both will help you. They're great. They have other people there too. But Al and AJ are the owners. They're there. They'll look at everything. They'll talk to you about price. They'll help you to understand everything that you need to know about their jewelry, about the potential designs that they can create, about the designs that you can bring to them that you can suggest, and they can handle all that. They can just do everything when it comes to jewelry. They'll buy and sell coins and jewelry so you can get money from the things that you already own or come in and buy and maybe find some real values that you would like for yourself. Again, the coins are one area. And I just can tell you, you will love Jewels on Hampton. It is a great place to shop for jewelry. Now, on the way out, you're going to spend, you know, a long time. You can't just go in there for a minute. There's just all kinds of things in there. You got to talk to Al and AJ, and so it's going to take a while. And you might lose track of time, and you're thinking about walking out of here. And you go to grab your watch and you look, and OMG, you got a problem. Your watch is broken. No problem at all, because Jewels on Hampton will fix your watch. They'll do that too. It's a great place for jewelry. Jewels on Hampton. Check them out. You'll love them. Next, very important, St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. And I can tell you that thanks to the St. Louis Suit Company, I have remained very fashionable for a very long time. They get me the best clothes, the best suits, the best sport coats. For a long time, I bought their shoes, but you know I'm now buying Chucks by the dozens. Oh, I'm just loaded with Chucks. I got Chucks everywhere. I got so many Chucks, we don't know what to do with the house. I mean, it's like, come on, slow down. It's enough Chucks. How many feet have you got? But at any rate, yeah, I like the Chucks. But everything else, I mean, I have suits. I have shirts from there. I have an overcoat, really nice. However, it's the ties. You just can't beat their ties. Everybody says the same thing. I show them my tie and they go, wow, nice tie. And then I say, well, what do you think that cost? Oh, yeah. $40, $50, whatever. No, $5. That's it. $5 for beautiful silk ties at the St. Louis Suit Company. They won't raise the prices. I've told them. Raise them a little. Nope, nothing. They're not doing it. Those ties are $5. They've been $5. They're staying at $5. St. Louis Suit Company, corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton. And don't forget, if you're getting married, they definitely take care of wedding attire. They are big on that. And people come from everywhere to get their wedding attire at the St. Louis Suit Company. I'm not kidding. They really do. And they've been there for 29 years. It's not accidental. They're that good. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Okay. So let's move on to something that's so ridiculous. And I say this all the time. I mean, I've argued with everybody you can imagine, and I've always been right. Everybody says this is the year that the Democratic Party is going to lose the black vote. This is it. You will never see the black vote again in the Democratic Party. It's all going to Republicans. Every year they say it, and every year it's not true. Some years it's been as high as 14% black, then it's gone down, you know, this is for Republicans, then it's gone down to 6 or 8% black. Last year it was 8%. Or 4 years ago. It'll probably be 8 this year. Maybe it'll be down to 5. What is being said by Republicans about the black vote is not true. Try this out, Joe. Let's run that clip. So this is this morning on MSNBC. Okay. You know, no, it's all right. Just like you always say, refresh. Here we go.
If Joe Biden should even go there on his conviction in the criminal hush money trial, or in my opinion, the best place to go would be in an area where Donald Trump is completely admitted to doing what he's accused of doing, which is steal classified documents and store them in his public club in Mar-a-Lago, and what that means to our country's security. Your thoughts on how Joe Biden should play this tonight, if you think it could have a counter reaction in any way.
And George Conway's great here.
Look, I think all of the above. I think he has to go after Trump on everything in a restrained but very sharp way. He's running against a convicted criminal and adjudicated rapist. He should not be afraid of saying that. It's a fact. If you don't say that, then you're basically condoning it.
Yeah, can you stop that for a second?
I think it's important to do that, not only
That's one of the reasons I wanted that one. I mean, the black story is in here in 2 seconds, but that is so good and so important. A convicted felon and an adjudicated rapist. That's what Donald is. I would ask him, if I were Joe Biden on that stage, why did you rape that woman? I understand. He's not going to do that, but I'd love to hear it. Go ahead, Joe.
because the American public has to be continually reminded. I mean, repetition is key in politics, but also because it gets under Trump's skin. I mean, we're talking here about whether or not Donald Trump can hold it together for the allotted period of time, and he might be able to, but he's less able to if you keep hitting him on these things that he's most sensitive about. And that's really important, I think, because I think one of the advantages that Trump had before he was convicted on 34 felony counts and became a convicted felon was that he was off everyone's radar screen. The people didn't see much of him. He was deplatformed in January 2021. This is important. I think the Biden campaign made the correct move to get him out, get Trump out there early so that people can see him. He is considerably less effective. Trump is he's considerably less coherent than he was even 2 or 4 years ago. And he's
stop that a
in
second.
A much more fragile.
Yeah. I mean, this incoherence that comes from Trump is so good. And they talk about it here with Reverend Al. And this is with regard to the black community, because you know that Trump is running around saying that he is receiving record support from black people, that it's coming in all directions because they love him so much. Okay, go ahead.
Emotional state. He's a narcissistic sociopath who is he's unraveling, and we need to help him unravel.
Yeah, Willie, I mean, you know, there's going to be Donald Trump going, this is Biden's Justice Department that came after me. It's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. And you know, it's like dealing with a child. Liable for sexual assault, liable for fraud. The judge says it was rape, and convicted on 34 felony counts. That's not me, sir. That's you. It's sort of a simple kind of putting it back on, well, the guy who's convicted.
Yeah, convicted 34 times. And also perhaps the moderators will follow up on those points as well. We'll see how it shakes out. Rev, you have the distinction among us of having actually participated in a presidential debate in 2004. Obviously, this one-on-one setting with a candidate like Donald Trump is unlike anything you had to deal with in 2004. But if you were Joe Biden, what would be your approach to Donald Trump tonight?
No matter what the first question would be, I would define who he is and who I am. I'd say that I'm president of the United States. He was president 4 years. Under him, he mismanaged the century catastrophe of a pandemic that caused unemployment to go sky high, that caused economic bedlam. I was vice president with Barack Obama when we recovered a failing economy. And I've recovered from this guy, the COVID-19, a crisis he helped to in many ways increase the impact on us. And I brought up unemployment now is lower than it's been in 50 years. This guy is convicted of 34 felonies, had to ask his parole officer, could he come to Atlanta tonight? I was a senator for X amount of years, vice president of the United States, and served as president. I do the contrast. You need to know who we are, and then I'd go into what I would do. But I would not let him define himself. If he comes cold, mild-mannered, and gentlemen like tonight, he's a mild-mannered felon who's got to go and get his sentencing on the 11th, who has 3 more trials. As far as black voters who he's trying to appeal to, he tries to act like because of a mugshot, he appeals to black voters. It was a black DA that indicted him in New York, brothers and sisters. It was a black DA that's indicted him in Georgia's, brothers and sisters. And it was a black judge waiting for him in Washington.
Let's get more into that, because Donald Trump claims, and some polls show, he's received support, more support from black and Hispanic communities. But he says he's enjoyed that support because of the mugshot that was taken last summer when he was charged in the Georgia election interference case. Trump's remarks came during a Black American Business Leaders Barbershop Roundtable hosted by Ben Carson and Congressman Byron Donalds and Wesley Hunt, where he spoke to the panel by phone, saying his support from black voters has, quote, gone through the roof because black Americans can relate to his being a felon.
But since this has happened, like the mugshot. The mugshot is the best. It just beat Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra by a lot, by the way. Beat him by a lot. But that's the number one mugshot of all time. It's really an amazing thing. Since it happened, the support among the black community and the Hispanic community has skyrocketed. It's been amazing. Really been amazing. It's been actually very nice to see.
Okay, you can stop.
Can you think of anything more patronizing?
Yeah, and what they go on to discuss is what anybody should discuss, which is how patronizing it truly is to black people to say that, you know, you're a bunch of criminals, you're a bunch of no good losers, and you have mugshots all the time. So look at my mugshot. You should love my mugshot because I'm just like you, a convicted felon. I mean, this is cynical beyond cynical. And the fact is, you are not going to convince black people in this country to vote for Donald Trump simply because Trump's a criminal. And Trump is a criminal. Again, an adjudicated rapist. Again, say it again. An adjudicated rapist and a felon. And adjudicated to have committed fraud in the state of New York, which is requiring him now to pay the state of New York $500 million. And let me add this, too, because I sort of missed this the last couple of days. You're going to think that this was by design, but really not. We just were doing other things. But, for example, that idiotic company of his that does nothing fell to $27 per share and then recovered in the last 3-4 days to $42 per share. It's back down to 37 and falling again. And here's the thing. The company is going down. The shares, I've said all along, by September, if he can get $1 a share, which that would be good, because if he can get $1 a share, he's got 114 million shares. So that's $114 million. So that would be nice. That would be a good deal for him. But let me assure you, he has lost somewhere in the vicinity of $5 billion since this nonsense was made public in the first place. This SPAC is a special purpose acquisition company. Since it began to trade, it was 80. It's currently at 37. So that's down 40 times 114 million. It's about $5 billion that he's lost so far. And it won't take much to bring that thing down to a dollar. At that point, he'll have $114 million. And that's nice. He's going to need every bit of it to pay for the rest of his legal fees and to deal with what's coming at him in this country. So, you know, that's good for him. He's going to need that $100 million. So I hope he can get his hands on it. And he'll be lucky at that. But most of the time, you get something down around a dollar. Anybody will pay a dollar for anything, for almost anything. And you know, just thinking maybe they could sell it for $1.10. So that's out there. And that's something that is good for him. I hope that he's able to get a dollar. That'll be outstanding. However, at the moment, he's facing a far different situation. He lost from, let's say, 2 weeks ago when it was $54 a share and it dropped to $27. So he lost 50%. That's $27 per share. That's about $3.5-4 billion. And then we had a little bounce, which, you know, threw about $200 million, $300 million back in his pocket, which is not even his pocket anyway, because again, until September, he's not going to get a thing out of that company. But like I say, By the time it gets to September, I would guess a dollar. He could get maybe a dollar a share. That'll be good for him. And I'll be very happy to see him collect that money. That is, if he's, well, he may be in jail anyway. But in any case, that's his situation. I'll tell you what he has been very lucky, fortunate, that he has received. And I was reading about this morning, and you may remember the name Sheldon Adelson. Sheldon Adelson gave just hundreds of millions of dollars to Republicans for many years. And Sheldon is dead. He died 3 years ago. And his wife, Miriam, is now running all that money. And she is now promising that she is going to put $100 million at least into the Trump campaign. And the sad part of this is, I mean, this is a Jewish woman who is doing it for one reason. It's because she supports Israel. Well, yeah, I support Israel for sure. And so do most Jewish people in America. And so do most people in America, for that matter. We have supported Israel since 1948. A lot of us have a problem with what Netanyahu has done in terms of murdering excessive numbers of Palestinians. It's not helping Israel in any way. Yes, Hamas needs to be eviscerated, but the problem is that you can't. You cannot wipe out an idea. It's a bad idea, but it's an idea, and you cannot wipe it out. What you can do is attract so many people to your idea and to the belief that what they do could benefit them personally, that you could then succeed. And that does not include murdering the greatest number of people. True enough, Hamas came across that border. They raped Israeli women. They cut off the heads of babies. And there was retaliation for it, for sure. But the Jewish population in Israel right now wants to get back those hostages. They want the hostages back. And they, by large numbers, believe that Netanyahu is out of control, and they want to stop it. And one of his top opponents in his government, Benny Gantz, dropped out of the government in an effort to show his disfavor for the way that things are going right now in that small area of Gaza. It's very small. This Rafah area is tiny, but people are being destroyed over there, children. There's no way to avoid it because for sure the Hamas is using those kids as shields. And, you know, you use those kids as shields, then the kids are going to die. And so I understand you've got some tough decisions to make, but the Israeli people would like a deal. They feel like there's enough killing. The world thinks there's enough killing, and there's been enough killing. Time to get those hostages back, stop the killing, make some deals, set up a separate Palestinian state, guarantee the safety of Israel. Well, sure, you have to do that. But you've got Miriam Adelson out here supporting the lunacy of Trump in an effort to keep the killing, to keep it going, to keep support for a man over there, Netanyahu, who is very likely going to be found to be a criminal in his country shortly after he leaves office as well. So none of this is good. This Miriam Adelson is somebody you really need to read about. Keep an eye on her. We'll talk about it more as this goes along. Right now, I got to get out of here for the St. Louis Suit Company, for Wendy's, for Jules on Hampton. Good work, Joe. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.